Join me in John 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be reading John 3 this week in our Bible reading. And so it seemed appropriate that we would take some thoughts from this passage as we prepare this morning to come to the table. The chapter opens with one of several personal encounters that Jesus has with people, this time a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And if you follow their conversation, Jesus will ultimately say to Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. We could pause there and spend our time. It is a beautiful way to describe the opportunity that Jesus gives to us. The opportunity to wipe the slate clean, to be forgiven, to, in every way, begin again. But Nicodemus struggles with what Jesus says. If you look at verse number 4, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And so Jesus will continue to try to help him see the spiritual nature of the birth, but still he struggles in verse 9. How can these things be? And so what follows, as Jesus continues to work this idea and explain it, what follows is one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. Maybe the most well-known passage. Pick up in verse 14. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And then verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We know that one, right? In fact, I would suggest that if people know no other Bible verse, they know that one. Perhaps could even cite it. And I think we do sometimes recite this verse in different contexts and different settings, and yet we cite it and move on because it is so familiar. This morning, I want to invite you to pause here with me and to think again about this verse and how dramatic it is, how loaded it is with wonderful truths. He begins with these two words, for God, because it all begins with God, doesn't it? Not with us. He's the one who sees the need. He's the one who took the steps to address it. He provided the plan for our rescue. What we celebrate this morning is God's work, is initiated by him. For God so loved the world. I fear sometimes that we speak those words too easily, without contemplating how extraordinary it is to be able to say that God loves the world. I say that because mankind's history is a history of rebellion from the very beginning. I mean, this is Garden of Eden stuff, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and then Israel, God's chosen people, rebel against God, and the people of his day, Jesus' day, see him. They see his miracles. And yet the masses still reject him, rebel against God. To me and you, maybe even already this day, rebel. That rebellion stands in dark, or rather in stark contrast to God's faithfulness and His love. He keeps His covenant whether we are faithful or not, and He continues to love in spite of His rebellion. The love of God that we just sang about is astonishing, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now we know how much He loves us, how far He would go to rescue us. It is odd. We are the debtors. We owe the payment. But we don't pay. He does. And not just any price. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Isaac story in Genesis 22 is horrific to most people, that God would send Abraham to sacrifice his son. I just think that people don't understand that story because they don't understand the bigger Bible story. It's supposed to be horrific. Because what God ultimately does not require to Abraham to do, to intervene, He intervenes and prevents Abraham from taking Isaac's life. The father will not do it, the cross. He will not intervene. He lets his son die. The story is there so that we can grasp the horrific price paid for our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, there's the good news. Don't ever buy into some religious system that suggests salvation is only for a certain few, when Jesus says it's for whoever will believe in Him. And so early churches were made up of all kinds of people. It was a scandalous crowd. People with ugly paths who believed in Jesus. Don't ever let someone say that Jesus would not want me. He wants everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. What is at stake in all of this is ultimately the only stuff in life that matters. For those who embrace Jesus, believe in Him, respond to His demand for obedience, it's escape from eternal punishment and the blessing of eternal life. Those who reject Him lose everything. We grasp onto a few trinkets as we make our way through life, thinking we have something only to have at death everything to be gone and then eternal punishment. What we remember at this table today, ladies and gentlemen, life is defined by this event and the choice we make about what God offers in this. It's the only thing in your life and my life that matters. To believe otherwise is just a satanic delusion. So this morning we come to the table to celebrate that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let us eat and drink, and let us celebrate.